This week's episode of The Fourth Floor is brought to you by Chick-fil-A.
Yo, dudes, I'm here to tell you about my favorite restaurant slash eatery, Chick-fil-A. Like, they have these sandwiches with chicken and shit. Plus, everyone is at a pleasure to see me. On top of that, they combine my two favorite things, eating and our Lord Jesus Christ. So come on down to Chick-fil-A for our new 420 specials, where every day at 420, it's buy one, get one for 420. Don't forget our Lord rested on the seventh day, and we think you should totally do the same as well. Now excuse me, man, I gotta hit this so that I can obtain spiritual enlightenment.
She called me late last night, say she loved me so. But I guess you changed her mind. Well, I should have known it wouldn't be alright. But I can't live without her, so I won't even try. If I get drunk, well, I'll pass out on the floor now, baby. You won't bother me no more. And if you're drinking, well, you know that you're my friend. And I'll say, I think I'll have myself a beer.
Well, let's see. It is May 17th.
We have warped into the future.
Warped into the future from February 28th?
Yes.
Yes. It's not been 3 months. It's only been 2.5.
Yes.
So we are off the hook.
Yeah.
We were not canceled.
We were on hiatus.
Yeah, hiatus.
Just for a little while.
Yes. Emphasis on the high.
Yeah.
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 Riding high from our sweet movie checks.
Sweet movie checks.
From getting our Chick-fil-A sponsorship.
Ridiculous. I was totally against it, by the way, everybody, just so you know.
I do
not endorse that Chick-fil-A commercial.
They wrote it for us, okay? We simply put words.
He's lying now.
It's a melody.
It's a melody. He's lying, by the way.
Don't. You're giving away all our show secrets.
What secrets? What are you talking
about? It's like that show on Fox, the one where it spoiled all the magician tricks. You're spoiling podcasting tricks.
No.
Yes, you. No. You are the hated masked magician.
No. People love that shit.
What? Spoiling shit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Magic tricks, anyway.
Magic tricks? Yeah, I was going to say, because if we spoil the Avengers this week, oh god, I think we'll have, like, people's heads explode from anger.
Yeah, I think so, too.
They'll be like, no, I didn't see it!
Don't tell me.
And it'll be like, why weren't you part of the $1 billion that it made over 1 week?
I know, that's insane.
No, we didn't see that movie, why did you spoil it? Because it's been out for 2 weeks. Deal with it, jerkbag.
Like 2 weeks.
It's not our fault you don't have money, poor person.
Poor person. What?
Poor person.
Oh, I thought you didn't.
You whores.
I know, I'm like, wow, that was cutting them deep.
Oh my gosh, why do all of our shows begin with just nonsense rambling?
That's us.
That is us.
In a nutshell.
Well, this is The Fourth Floor Season 2, Episode 5, The Fourth Floor Strikes Back. And as you can tell, we're in rare form tonight.
Yeah, really, oh, wow.
We're back to what you people love the most about The Fourth Floor, non-stop chaos.
Non-stop nonsense.
Non-stop fun. Action.
Action-packed.
Maybe some scares along the way?
Some scares? What? Like, what, are you going to burn down the house? That would scare me. That would scare me.
It's like the lost recording of The Fourth Floor, like the house burns down.
Yeah.
And like 3 years later, they find like the recordings of our last moments while the house is burning down.
And we're just like being ridiculous like we are right now.
Yes. We should do that as an episode, like a found footage episode of The Fourth
Floor. It'll be our Halloween episode.
Yes. Yes. Just pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Look for that.
Look for that. Yeah. Get
it's
on
coming
that.
Soon.
October about.
October, sometime in October. I mean, that's about the next time we'll have an episode after this one.
Probably.
So, you know, you people will deal with it.
You love it.
Yeah, I mean, that's why. I mean, look, we were gone for 2.5 months, and we got 2 Facebook friends. That's better than when we were on the show regularly.
True.
I mean, so apparently our threats of not doing shows anymore worked because you people did like the show. So if you want more, you gotta like us, because that's why we're coming back, because people keep liking us.
People like us.
People love us, damn it.
They do.
Yeah, they do. So, a big welcome to Dylan Coffee!
Dylan Coffee!
And Courtney Carpenter!
Okay.
Yes.
Courtney Carpenter.
Yes.
Welcome.
We don't know who Courtney is. We do know who Dylan is, because I work with him on the Game Effect.
Yes.
I work with him. Which is to say, every once in a while, I write something on a Facebook wall, and he writes back.
That's nice.
That's work.
That's a nice relationship.
I love you guys.
Yeah, really.
Do you love me?
Oh, Greg! Oh, that's the funniest thing ever, too, if you haven't seen that.
Oh, yes, please. Watch. Look up Old Greg on YouTube. It's like a 10-minute video, but it is hilarious.
And it's been around forever, and we're just discovering it.
Yes, but now we're telling everyone else about it.
Who hasn't seen it? Who has been under, like, a rock like we have?
Yeah, probably. We have been under a rock.
Pretty much.
So, now, we don't have a charity of the month this month.
No.
And I don't know.
You're being selfish.
Go support the VA.
Go support your favorite political candidate.
Yeah.
Go work on their campaign.
No, well, it is Memorial Day, so maybe they should just support the VA.
The VA is good.
Yeah, the VA. I totally forgot. I was like, I don't need to do a charity of the month. And then I forgot. And then I'm like, oh, wait, it's May. VA. There we go.
Memorial Day.
Veterans. Go support the veterans.
Do it.
Do it. Or suffer. So now comes the favorite part of the show of what we've been up to, also known as holy shit, we've been off the air since February.
Right. AKA.
AKA holy shit. So I'll go first.
Okay.
Let's see. There's a lot been going on since February, but I'm just going to give some brief updates.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple reviews up for some games that I've been playing.
Mm-hmm.
They may or may not be discussed later on in the show after a break.
Yes, they will be.
Okay.
Meaning yes.
You just spoiled the show for everyone. Thanks. You guys don't even have to listen anymore. They just spoiled it. Now they know what's coming up next.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. It's been spoiled. It's done. It's over. Just cancel the show now. Take us off the air. But for those who live in Baltimore, I have some cool stuff going on. Starting soon at Collector's Corner in Maryland on Hartford Road. You can go to collectorscornermaryland.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's collectorscornermd.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be doing some video game tournaments there through us and the Game Effect, and also through the production company. We will be handing out prizes. They're going to be limited edition art prints from various video games. We're going to have about 15 of them to start, so we're going to give one away as a grand prize every week, and we're going to figure out another kind of secondary prize and figure out how that's going to work on top of that. These are not going to be your traditional video game tournaments. I mean, we're going to have like the normal, like, oh, come here and play Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and fight, you know, it out to the end. But we're going to try and do some really cool stuff with, like, speedruns, like collection quests and that kind of stuff, kind of mm-hmm. like stuff like that, where it's a little bit, you know, a little bit
different.
More fun and a little bit less competitive, you know, at least competitive head-to-head wise, but a little bit more, you know, just straight having fun. I'm gonna try and do a lot of current games.
Yeah.
Like I'm planning one for Max Payne 3 right now.
Right.
Where we're gonna go through arcade mode, because arcade mode has a couple of different things, like where you have to get like the highest score through a level and stuff. It like scores you stuff on the levels.
Cool.
So we're gonna do stuff like that.
Cool.
So yeah, I mean, collectorscornermd.com. Pay attention for more updates on that. I'm hoping to get these started by July.
Cool.
So June is the month that I really want to get them done by, but hopefully by July they're up and ready to go.
Yeah.
So pay attention to that, and we will be hopefully recording these and providing
information,
a YouTube video. At the end for the tournament that you will be able to watch on thegameeffect.com.
A recap,
as you were.
As you were.
As you will.
If you will.
If you will. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I've been up to. How about you, Liz?
I had my birthday.
You did have your birthday. Oh, that's right.
Yes, I did. I had my birthday, and it was an awesome weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, first we saw the Avengers.
Yes.
The Avengers.
Yes.
And then that night, we went down to Power Plant Live and went to see Chris Titus perform some comedy.
Yes.
Which was freaking sweet and hilarious. And the next day we went to the DC Chili Cook-Off.
Yeah.
We saw Incubus and Cake and Airborne Toxic Event and AOL Nation and a couple other bands. And
cool.
It was super fun.
Yeah. Got anything that you're working on?
Working on? Nah.
Nah.
Who, me working?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? This got, is my work.
Got maybe a business that you're trying to
I'm dog sitting, yeah. Which is pretty sweet. I love dogs.
Yes.
Those are my qualifications. But I'm really good to dogs, and I like to walk them and sit them and stuff. So
sit them.
Sit, not sit on them.
I like to. Them. I would hire me if you want me to ride your dog like a pony.
Yeah, really. With my big self. That's a mental picture nobody wants, especially the dog.
So I was like, "What the?
What's happening here?
You pay her to do this to me?
You torturous bastard! You Michael Vick of the Baltimore area."
Dog racing. So, alright. We're going to get right back into the quality of the show that you guys are so impressed by. Have come to expect. And we're going to talk about some movies that we've seen this month. Two movies, particularly. I guess let's do the Avengers second.
Okay.
Because that's the bigger movie that everybody wants to talk about and wants to hear our thoughts on, obviously.
Okay.
And let's talk about Cabin in the Woods.
Okay.
So, we saw Cabin in the Woods pretty much the weekend it came out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which was a little while back.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really, really good.
It was good. We enjoyed it.
Yeah. So, I mean, is it alright to spoil it at this point?
No.
No?
No.
No.
Too soon.
It's too soon. Yeah, we gotta get
wait until after it comes out on DVD.
Yeah, we really should wait. So basically, if people don't know what the premise of Cabin in the Woods is,
the name is pretty self-explanatory.
The name is pretty self-explanatory. It's what they've decided to do with it that makes this movie great.
Mm-hmm.
Because on paper, this movie sounds like the most atrocious piece of garbage you would ever want to see.
Generic.
And it's supposed to be, it's done like that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So it works really well when you actually see it and you're like, okay, I like what you did with that.
I accept that.
Yeah, but you didn't really like the ending.
No, I wasn't crazy about it. I'm a happy ending kind of girl.
Oh.
Even in horror. I like the survivor girl. I like
See, I thought the ending was great. I thought it ended the way that it needed to end.
I guess.
I mean, if you're doing a movie that's totally turning the idea of the horror genre upside down on its head, then it needed to end that way.
I guess I didn't see it as that innovative and groundbreaking.
Well, fair enough. What did you think of, like, acting-wise?
Are you kidding?
It was pretty bad.
It's a horror movie.
Yeah.
Regardless of whatever else is happening,
I don't know,
it's a horror movie.
Those two guys in the lab were kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Those guys were cool. The way it started off was really great. Cause you're
like, I liked the beginning. It kind of, for me, kind of fell apart at the end.
The beginning was one of those weird beginnings that kind of had, like, that total, like, B-movie kind of... Not even, like, a B-movie kind of feel to it. It had, like, a Tarantino feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the movie starts, and you're like, am I really watching the same movie? Like, it's, like, this total, like, Tarantino-esque opening. And, like, that from, like, their Grindhouse, like, production kind of, like, idea. With the way that the movie starts, with the way the logo comes up.
Yeah, I guess so.
And then you get into the actual movie, and you're like, all right. And we went into this movie totally blind, so it was kind of like...
Yeah, we didn't know anything about it.
I didn't really know what to expect other than what the premise was, people go to the woods.
Right, it's Cabin in the Woods.
And then there was a twist.
What's a twist?
Yeah, and it was a good twist, but it was... Yeah, I highly recommend it. At least to watch it.
Watch it.
Yeah, at least watch it and make up your opinion for yourself, because it's really one of those movies that your level of enjoyment is going to come from how much you enjoy the idea of horror movies being turned around upside down on their head.
I guess.
Yeah.
I didn't see it as that different. I mean, it was a different idea, kind of. But, I mean, that premise has been done before. Yeah. I don't want to get too far into it. But, maybe not in the horror genre, but the premise has been done.
But in what movie?
The Truman Show.
Oh, yeah. But that wasn't it.
That was part of it.
I guess that was part of it.
Whatever, didn't matter to me.
Never mind. We're getting way too close in the spoiler.
It was fine.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So the Avengers. Holy shit! Awesome. It's my phone. It's vibrating.
Okay.
Yeah. The Avengers was incredible.
Yeah, it really was.
The Avengers was one of those movies that you watch and you're like,
I'm glad I saw this.
Well, I mean, personally, from my standpoint, I didn't really care too much for a lot of the lead-up movies, like Captain America. Like, I liked them. They were good movies in general.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there was nothing like, oh my god, these are fantastic movies. Like,
right. Iron Man was pretty decent.
Iron Man was the best mm-hmm. of them, in my opinion. But in terms of, like Captain America, and even Thor was kind of like, all right.
I didn't even finish Thor. I didn't even get through it.
I like Thor for the visuals that they had, especially when they were in Asgard. I was like, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And Captain America just kind of bored me.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was terrible, it just kind of bored me. I mean, people really get, like, upset when I say I didn't like them, and it's like, no, it's not that I didn't like them, they just didn't really excite me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, yeah, they were fine, they did exactly what they needed to do, but I guess because growing up on comic book fiction, and then not really changing that fiction too much to fit these movies,
right?
It was kind of like, all right, like, they got it right, congratulations.
Yeah, way to go. You did what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, like, you did what you were supposed to do. You did, and that was the problem with it that they had, was they did exactly what they were supposed to each time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why I liked Iron Man so much, because Iron Man was one of those characters. Iron Man was the only character that really had, like, any hope of actually having character.
Right.
Captain America, Steve Rogers is just a kind of a boring character.
Agreed.
Thor could be a good character.
Well, he's very much like,
yeah,
like, straightforward.
Yeah.
He's not very personable.
Yeah, and Thor can be a good character, but I mean, I think Chris Hemsworth, they went in the Thor movie a little bit too much of Thor as, like, a big time, like, hero, and not mm-hmm. enough of, like, a crazy homeless guy.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think would have been way better.
More interesting for the character.
More interesting for the character. They went more into, like he kind of shows up in the Thor movie, and everyone's like, all right, it's Thor. Like,
right,
whatever.
Right, I know. It's like, wait a minute, this is strange, yeah. Right?
Yeah, at least in, like, the Avengers, in the Ultimates line of comic books, he shows up, and he's, like, this crazy homeless guy, and everybody's like, you're not the god of thunder.
Right.
Until he actually gets his hammer, and then they're like, all right.
Right. Okay, now you're kicking serious ass.
Yes, now we believe you. And, so, yeah. But Avengers, anyway, back to Avengers. So Joss Whedon pretty much threw the Hail Mary pass and succeeded on this one.
Touchdown,
Joss Whedon! I think, like, I thought it was, like, a really, I kept hearing it was a kind of a short movie, like an hour and a half.
I don't know why you heard that.
I don't either, because, like, it was, like, seriously, like, 2 hours, but it didn't feel like it.
It was, like, 2.5 hours.
I know, and it had perfect pacing the entire way through. My biggest concern when I had talked to Carson about it previously,
right,
was that they were going to spend too much time getting the team together.
No, and they didn't.
They didn't. They didn't spend.
They were pretty much like, here's the team.
Yeah, here's together. The team. They're together, and they did a little bit of time with them actually, like, figuring out how they work together.
Well, right, the growing pains.
The growing pains, but that was fine because it was, you know, it worked really well.
They needed to. Yeah. It was kind of like backstory.
Yeah, and let them fight it out a little bit, you know.
Right, they had to have some kind of inner fighting.
Yeah. Well, that was the whole, yeah.
They had to.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, anytime you get a group of people together, they're not going to mesh perfectly and be like, oh, we're superheroes, let's all work together, we all have huge egos.
Right, exactly.
It's like a basketball team.
Yeah, and it's like the dream team.
It's like the dream team who wants to get paid to play basketball in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Which is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, and I think what they did really well, I think what I liked the most about this movie in particular was with Loki.
Uh-huh.
And the mind control.
Yes.
Because the mind control in this was like, remember in the first X-Men movie where Professor Xavier's sitting there and he's telling the two guys, like, Sabretooth, to, like, put the guy down?
Yeah.
And or he's talking. He has him talk to Magneto.
Right.
And it just seemed like, all right, whatever. Like Sabretooth comes out and he's like, yeah, whatever. Like that was.
Yeah.
That was what happened.
That's what happened.
You know, and I don't want to spoil who gets mind control, but I mean, there's that line where he's like, you know, sitting there like, have you ever had yourself pulled out of your head? And I
right.
thought, and I thought they did mind control as such a brutal thing that it was fantastic. You know?
Right.
Like, Loki's mind control in that movie is fantastically brutal.
It was really good.
Yeah. Like, it was...
It was well
just,
done.
It was well done. They just really thought that one out really well.
The whole movie was well done.
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic. It looked great. Sounded great. The acting was really good. That Chris Evans, Johnny Storm, I have to hand it to him. He's
stepping up.
He's stepping up. Because he made me like Captain America as a character more in this movie.
Than in the Captain America movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
He made me like Captain America more. I was like, yeah, Captain America's kind of cool.
He's hardcore.
Yeah.
He's like, taking charge and shit.
Yeah. Like
represent.
Yeah, and even Chris Hemsworth did a better job with Thor in this movie.
Oh, but he's just not very good.
Well, I mean...
Was he in Captain America?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not that great, but he's perfect for Thor.
He looks like Thor.
He looks like Thor, and he has a good sound for Thor, and he has a good look for Thor, and he even kind of sounds like... I mean, he got the mannerisms right.
I guess
Thor.
So.
Thor's cocky, you know?
He's a douche.
And Mark Ruffalo was the big surprise.
Uh-huh.
Like
he was the breakout star of this movie, as far as I'm concerned.
He played Bruce Banner fantastically.
Yeah, he was really good.
I was so happy. Like, at first, I was really upset that Edward Norton didn't want to be part of it and wasn't
a
part of it.
Yeah, I was a little bit upset about that.
And then I watched Mark Ruffalo, and I'm like, this is acceptable. I was like, I will give you this, Mark Ruffalo, because you have done a fantastic job with Bruce Banner. You have made Bruce Banner... a likable character.
I think that he did even better than Edward Norton probably could have done, just because he was so much more likable as a character, and he was just so much more... He was humorous.
He was humorous. He had that quirk to him.
Yeah, he was quirky. Like, I liked it.
Like, the thing with Edward Norton is that he always plays, like, these damaged characters.
He's a damaged person, I believe.
I know, but he always plays, like, damaged characters.
Right.
And he made Bruce Banner too damaged.
Right, he was too effed up.
Like, Mark Ruffalo added that kind of, like, life to him.
He was kind of like, yeah, this is part of it.
Yeah, like, he's just like, I accept this now.
Yeah, this is just part of who I am.
Yeah.
It's just the other half of me.
Yeah, and, I mean, action-wise, I don't think I could have asked for any more action in that movie.
No, there was a lot, and the ending was really long.
Yeah. The actual battle at the end was pretty long.
It was long.
Yeah.
It was. It had to have been a half hour.
Yeah. It was damn good. And there was action pretty much consistently throughout, with just enough story to move to the next scene.
Yeah, that there were really parts where I got bored.
Like, what? Like plot-wise?
Well, just...
Or action-wise?
Plot-wise.
Like, what was...
I don't know. I just, like... I guess it was more of the dialogue. I just wanted more action. I like action.
There were some issues. I kind of see what you mean. There were some issues with dialogue. Kind of like really kind of generic lines. Like that line when Captain America's in Germany, like the last time someone ruled over man in Germany. It's kind of like, really?
Do we need to do that?
Do we really need to do that right now? Like,
right.
Like, is that
necessary?
But, I mean, I get it because that's from where he's from. And so
right.
But it's like, stop playing off on that so much, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I can't, like, I don't know, it just kind of was like, it was just kind of one of those, like, really, do we need to do this kind of things?
Yeah.
I mean, but the dialogue I didn't think was too bad.
No.
I thought some of Loki's, like, bad guy villain lines were kind of generic, like, especially when he started talking about freedom is the great tyranny.
Oh, God, it was so lame.
Yeah, that was kind of like, all right, I mean, I get it, because, you know, you're trying to be smarter than everybody.
Right.
And they did get Loki down really well. I mean, he's a great character.
Yeah, that actor is pretty good.
Well, that actor just looks like a snake, too, anyway.
He does, the way they made him look.
Oh, and Loki's costume was fantastic.
Yeah.
I loved seeing when he got his horns, when he put on the costume with his horns.
Yeah.
I was like, because that's the Loki I remember. You didn't really see that much of him in Thor, that Loki in Thor.
No, he was more of a character.
Yeah, he was more just of a character. So, I mean, overall... You guys have got to stay. There are two end credits sequence scenes. There's one after, like, the initial credits, and then there's a long... where they're showing, like, stuff happening. Like, a little video montage of the credits that you guys have got to watch.
Yeah.
You've got to stay for that. I mean, obviously, you'll stay for that one. It's almost obvious that you're just going to stay for it, because
right.
the end credits start with, like, stuff going on still while you're watching it.
Right.
But and then there's a scene after the proper credits that is hilarious.
I guess.
And it was pretty funny, you have to admit.
I guess it was hilarious.
But overall, this movie is a go see.
Yes.
And an own on DVD when it comes out.
Yes.
And it has made me really excited to see what Disney's going to do with the rest of the Marvel Universe now.
5 stars.
5 stars, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. It was one of the best, it's the best superhero movie so far.
I think, yeah, it's my favorite.
I think it was even better than Watchmen.
Ooh.
Watchmen's a superhero movie. Those guys are superheroes.
And I love that movie.
Dr. Manhattan is a superhero.
I love that movie. I don't know. It's going to be close for me.
I don't know.
I like the Avengers, though.
I agree. Go see the Avengers.
Go see it.
Yeah. That brings us to the movie of the week.
Movie of the week.
It's Garden State.
Garden State. My favorite movie ever.
With Zach Braff and Natalie Portman.
Zach Braff wrote, directed, and produced, acted in this movie.
Yep. It's a fantastic movie. It's one of those movies that people get, like, a little overhyped. Like, I'm not saying it's overhyped. I'm saying people feel like it's overhyped because they haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And then they, like, go and see it. It's one of those movies that you have to see at a certain point in your life where you're at that point where you're just getting out of, like, college. You're trying to figure out the world on your own.
Yeah.
It's one of those kind of movies.
It's a great movie.
It's one of those, like, I'm figuring things out. It's
that's when it came out when we were doing that.
Yeah, like, it's one of those kind of movies because I don't think a lot of people in high school are really going to get exactly what is going on in that.
I do. I think they'll get it.
You do?
Yep.
Because it's not a chick flick at all.
No, it's. I mean, there's love. There's a love storyline.
But it's not. It's too good to be considered a chick flick.
Peter Sarsgaard is in that movie.
Yes, he is.
He is fantastic.
You're a cop, Kenny?
No, that's not
Peter Sarsgaard. No. I know, but that's just. Oh, Peter Sarsgaard. Yeah. Oh, that's right. He's that one guy.
Desert Storm, Trading Hearts.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And then the. The friggin' guy from,
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory is the knight.
The knight.
Yes.
The knight.
He's his mom.
Oh, he's banging his mom.
And he works in Medieval Times. He's wearing his knight outfit.
That movie is hilarious.
Oh my god, that movie's
there's so good.
They're just
dark.
There's just comedy such dark great writing for it.
Zach Braff is very good.
I know.
I really think he's.
And it's not like Scrubs at all.
No.
It's not that kind of funny. It's like.
No.
It's totally funny. It's like situational comedy. Like that, when he meets up with his aunt at his mom's funeral, and she's like, I used the leftover wallpaper to make you a shirt.
The leftover material.
The leftover material to make you a shirt.
Yeah. Oh, and then the next scene.
Yeah.
I almost made that my cover image on, Facebook.
It's just a fantastic movie.
It's a great movie.
Natalie Portman's really good in it.
Natalie Portman, yep. She's good in everything. I think she was actually pretty much made for that role.
Yeah.
She annoys me in other roles sometimes, except for V for Vendetta.
So you're a liar.
Huh?
So you're a liar. That whole conversation where he's like, where she says she doesn't lie.
Oh, yeah.
And then
he's like,
so you're a liar.
Do people call you a liar? People call me lots of things. Is one of them liar?
Yeah, it's a good movie. People should definitely go and see this movie.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
You should rent it.
Yeah,
at least.
Rent.
Netflix.
Netflix, rent, own. All of the above. D. All right, we're going to take a break, guys. We'll be right back. And when we come back, we'll get into some kick-ass video game time. Right, Liz?
Awesome.
Awesome. I believe in the system. I believe you either with them or against them. I believe in this cold steel at my fingertips. And I believe in Harvey Dent. And I believe in justice and all the blood already spent. If you believe, then say it with me. Cause this is how we keep the faith here in Gotham City.
First Obama tells us Bush had fucked up in Afghanistan. What's his plan? Expand our military presence. A great recession hits our shores, so all the essence of Iraq no longer stands. Parents can't afford their rent, so when the housing market collapses, no longer laugh in the faces of these homeless bums. Giuliani cast it into the shadows. Now reaction spread to Tea Party activists protesting debt panels and taxes. So Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck, Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow, fill your set and pick until you're no longer upset. Just white noise when the hero tells the boys that crime doesn't pay, like they fucking got a choice. That's why Harvey Dent makes me believe that life simply isn't fair. If you cut me, then I bleed. If you rob from those who wrong you, then you're gonna eat. And you survive it, and that's what life has come to in these streets. And I believe in Harvey Dent, and I believe in America and the dollars we spend. I believe in the system. I believe you either with them or against
them. And much like the delay in the episode, our break was also 2.5 months long till we got to this part.
Not true. It's like 2.5 minutes.
There you go, ruining everything again. All the
That's because your stupidity never fails to shock me.
You're like, yes.
The dumb shit you say never.
You just want to ruin. You just want to ruin all my fun.
Yep, that's my purpose in life.
I understand how it is
to ruin your fun.
I understand.
I care that much.
I understand.
About your fun.
I understand.
Because it's so much fun to just lie to people.
I lie all the time.
I know.
That's what I do.
I know.
I'm a liar.
I know.
It's like the time that I saved the world from the Trojans.
Liar. I love how you laughed at that for way too long.
It was like a fake laugh, too. It was like, oh, my co-host is so funny.
So funny.
Meanwhile.
Although, the chick who opened for Christitis, I was way funnier than Shane.
Yeah.
So let's not get into that.
You want to hit them with a little bit of your stand-up that you're working on?
No. That's how exciting I am.
How are you going to build a...
Because I'm not ready yet, and since you can't see my facial expressions, it really doesn't matter.
Okay, well, the water pipe skit you don't need to see facial expressions for.
Why don't you do the water pipe skit, since you love it so fucking much? Tobacco out of a bong, yes. Ha ha ha, it's hilarious.
Tobacco out of a bong!
It's a water pipe, damn it.
It's a water pipe, damn it.
Smoke tobacco out of our water pipe, and then get caught in the... by the cops in the car with a water pipe, a.k.a. a bong. They test it for residue, and it's just tobacco. They're like, why the fuck are you wasting your time buying a bong for tobacco?
Exactly.
What? Yeah.
So, anyway, it's now time for video game awesomeness!
I'll be checking out.
Awesome. Video game.
You just like to hear yourself talk, don't you? You're just like, oh, like, what the fuck?
Oh, you're in such a good mood right now.
I can tell, yeah. I'm being provoked. My misery is being provoked.
I am, like, the ultimate troll. I just keep poking at you until you snap. One day, like, literally, they're just going to hear a gunshot go off, and it's just going to be you talking afterwards.
I don't believe in guns.
Oh.
I'll stab you.
Garden shears opening inside my body?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like acid poured up your nose or something.
Acid poured on my nose?
Maybe.
How do you pour something up somebody's nose?
You hang them upside down by their toes.
Oh. That's what those bars are for.
Exactly. What else did you think they were there for?
Where do you dispose the bodies?
Again, acid.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Good point.
Rookie.
Yeah, I've not been planning my my serial killer phase very well. So, anyway. I'm not going to talk about this other game because I haven't finished playing it all the way through yet. So I'm going to just leave Max Payne 3 alone for now. Other than say that look for a review on thegameeffect.com coming up soon for it. Hopefully by Saturday that'll be ready. Hopefully.
That'd be good.
Yeah, I'm only on part 1 of 4, so and it's kind of long.
It's been taking forever.
It's really good, though, so it doesn't matter. This game I do not have a review for, but I have finished playing it, Mass Effect 2.
Yes, finally.
Finally got to Mass Effect 2, and I'm glad I did. It was really enjoyable.
I like that you give video game reviews on games that came out, like...
Well, I mean, these next games have all come out before since our last episode.
Well, that's good. Mass Effect, congratulations. Woo, that's old school.
Yeah. You make fun of me?
I am, a little bit. I'm like stealing your thunder a little bit. I'm a little bit like, oh, you know, your video game playing is not that important. God forbid I say that. God forbid.
Great, Liz. You're gonna have the nerds come after us.
You know what? They won't come after me. I have boobs.
Yeah, that's true.
I am
immune. Besides, guys, if you really want to get at Liz, I know a secret about her.
Great, yeah, put my shit all out there.
She has a Battletech character.
Shut up!
That's right. Not a video game character, a tabletop RPG character based off the Battletech universe.
You know, it doesn't matter how bad he puts his secrets out on me, because all I have to say is one word and only he will know what it means.
Uh-oh.
But...
what is it?
Littlefoot.
No!
Yes.
No!
So, keep it up.
No!
Keep it up. Keep it up.
Littlefoot.
Littlefoot.
Oh, crap. Oh, all right, yeah, I'm being quiet now. Liz never does anything nerdy. Never. Liz is the epitome of cool awesomeness all the time.
Whatever. Like, you can even talk.
Liz is cool.
Cooler than you are? My God. I'm like 10, at least, like, plus 10 coolness.
Liz has been working on a speechcraft ability all day.
Speechcraft ability?
She's getting like 5 levels in it today so far.
5 levels in one day.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
So, you actually played this game. Journey?
Yes.
So far, this is my game of the year.
Yeah, this game is fantastic. I really enjoy playing it, and I hate video games.
Yeah.
Well, I don't hate video games. I hate playing video games. I like to watch video games. I just don't like to play because I don't like competition. But Journey really doesn't have any competition but yourself.
Yeah.
So...
I'm flying!
Yeah!
This is awesome!
That's all I kept doing the whole time. I was flying.
I know, it was an awesome game. I gave it a 10 out of 10 on thegameeffect.com.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's one of those games that you have to, really have to play to experience. It's an entire experience. From sound to visuals.
Yeah.
It's really an emotional experience.
You can't really explain it either.
No, you can't really explain it, but it's a great experience. You know, if you go into it and you don't really know what's going on, it's fantastic.
That's okay.
It's beautiful.
It is.
It's one of those games that really...
I didn't know anything about it when I played it.
Yeah, when people talk about our game's art, this is the game. This is one of those games that people are going to look to in a couple years and go, our game's art? I don't know what art is, but that sure is.
Yeah, that looks, you know.
Yeah.
Like art to me.
Yeah. So, yeah, Journey.
Awesome game.
Awesome. Awesome sauce. It's a little old, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it, because I probably already played it. Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City, though. This game I had really high hopes for.
Mm-hmm.
And when I played it, all my hopes were just smashed into the dirt.
Aww.
Yeah, it was... It sucks, because when I reviewed this game, it was such a hard game to review. It was one of the hardest games I've ever reviewed, because I played single player, and just strictly single player, by myself, no outside help or anything from anybody. Right, just me and 3 squad mates, and 3 AI.
Mm-hmm.
And the game was terrible.
Aww.
Absolutely terrible. Squad AI was a buggy mess. The shooting mechanics just weren't that fun. Everything about the game was just, like, frustrating. It was just like, oh my god, I need to get through this. This is a chore to get through. And then, I have a total opposite experience when I take the game online. And it's like, alright, well, take the game online and play co-op.
Right.
And I play co-op, and it's one of those games where it's like, holy crap, everything that they wanted to do was, like, working spot on.
Right.
It's like Slant Six Games just, like, totally, like, flipped the script on me. It was like, wow, this is really good. Like, this is exactly what I was expecting when I bought this for the single player. You know, I was expecting something like this, and instead
The AI was just slow.
The AI was just terrible. Not even slow, it was just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So, when it came time to review it, I mean, and this is something that a lot of people don't know when you're reviewing a game, especially when you're doing something that a lot of people are going to read and not just, like, something for, like, your friends to read, like, a little, like, on a community website, like, mm-hmm. an actual, like, you're the source for this website on this information. You have to be really careful with how you write that review. Because, like, I'm writing it, right, and I'm talking about the single player and how freaking terrible it is. And then I start talking about the online experience, and I'm, like, trying to watch my wording, uh-huh. because I already kind of have an idea of what I'm going to give the game at score-wise mm-hmm. while I'm writing the review. But I'm writing it, and it's, like, it's starting to sound really good. So, you know, and it was hard to write that, because it was, like, you don't want people to think, you know, and I had to actually say, I did say in the review, you know, the dichotomy of the two experiences that I had. And that was why the review was based the way it was. I think I ended up giving, like, the single-player mode a 5, mm-hmm. and the multiplayer, the online portion, an 8. Mm-hmm. And I said in the review itself, you know, I gave the review a 5, and I said I gave the score right in between the two.
Right.
To kind of show that, because I can only really give one score. I can't give right. two different scores for a game. So it was kind of, like, difficult to write, because it's, like, you can't give two scores.
Yeah.
So it was really, sucks, too, because I had built up a pretty decent relationship with Slant 6 during the course of it, and I didn't really, like, want to hurt that relationship by writing a bad review.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to give I wanted to give an honest opinion as well.
And no unfair advantage.
Yeah, no unfair advantage. And that is really difficult to do sometimes, especially when you're playing something and you're like, oh man, like, I'm just starting out, like, are these people, like, gonna, like, help me out again, like, next time I need help with something?
Right.
You know, so that was a little hard. But
playing politics is always fun.
But journalistic integrity is something that's important to me.
Right.
So, and I took that very seriously.
Congrats.
Yes. Another game that I played and reviewed was Awesome Knots on the PlayStation 3. And
yes.
this goes back in the Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City, where how do you review a game, you know?
Do you review a game?
Yeah. Like, well, let me ask you, if you were personally reviewing a video game, what would you review it based on?
Gameplay, visuals, mm-hmm. controls.
Right. Okay. But, I mean, would you review it over the overall experience of a title?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, and that's kind of what I had to do with Awesome Knots. There's mm-hmm. really, it's not a really deep experience. Like, there's really not a lot to that game at all.
That's
but
not fun.
But it's really fun.
Oh.
You know? It's really fun. It plays really well. You know, the controls are really great. The graphics are nice and smooth. They're playing online and there's hardly any lag, you know. The gameplay's smooth, it's fast, it works really well. Mm-hmm. Everything works really. It's just not a very deep experience. And you know, it's kind of like one of those situations where how do you justify, I gave it an 8.5, but how do I justify an 8.5 for an experience that's so limited?
Well, technically it was good.
Yeah.
You can score it on technicality.
And that's what I had to do. But that's difficult for me. It's difficult for me to have so many different, like, types of criteria. Like, I'm personally somebody who I have very black and white thinking, so I have to sit there and I have to put some kind of template on everything to kind of figure out what is considered great.
Yeah.
And what isn't.
That's so relative.
But you can't do that when you're critiquing something.
No, that's
because
different.
You have to take it as its own personal experience.
Exactly.
And that is the problem that I think not a lot of people understand. When they start reviewing something and they start comparing it to something else, you can't really do that.
Right.
You can't compare, like, Star Wars to A Clockwork Orange.
Right.
You know, you might be able to compare it, like, in terms of, like, classic status or whatever you want, like, you know, mm-hmm. or like great movie, but you can't compare it on quality at all.
No.
I guess you could, technically. I don't know. See, that's what I mean. Like,
it goes both ways.
Yeah,
it does. Anybody can really critique anything. Yeah. They can really review anything. They can You really can. And it's supposed to be about the experience regardless.
Right. And I think people, you know, people take a lot of power. People put the power into the critics. You know?
Yeah.
The critic really doesn't have any power. I've watched plenty of movies and played plenty of games that critics hated. And I've played it and been like, that was awesome.
Yeah, well, that's because, you know, it's a lot of that's political.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of it has to do with, you know,
right.
What's awesome.
Yeah. Like, I've...
And they just have different criteria.
Yeah. And, yeah, so it's just... It personal opinion is normally what matters. I mean, you can use a game, a critic, to kind of justify a purchase if you need to.
Yeah.
Like, but I always go based on user reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Audience reaction. I tend to get that...
Yeah, I would take more, pay more attention to that than...
Than necessarily critics. Because yeah. Critics have to play a game of balance.
Exactly.
They don't want to piss anybody off.
Right.
But they have to be honest at the same time.
Right.
You know, so it's that can be really difficult.
It's a fine line.
It's a fine line. And then the last game I want to talk about tonight is the Star Wars... Star Wars The Force Unleashed. And I did an article series that we have on thegameeffect.com. It's called After the Hype, where we go back to like some older games. And you know, play them and see how they stand up
right.
Today, particularly games that were kind of popular back in the day.
Right.
And this was one of the first Star Wars games to sell a million copies. And it came out to kind of like mixed results. I think it's somewhere on its Metacritic rating is somewhere between like 7 and 8 right now.
Okay.
And but a lot of people talked about it, and a lot of people really enjoyed the game.
Right.
So I had a chance to pick it up and play it, and you know.
What do you think about it?
I didn't really care for it.
No.
No.
Wasn't the best thing ever.
There were a lot of issues that I had with it. The linear level design was fine because I'm not a big. I don't really care how you build a game as long as the game that you're building is the experience that you want the people to have.
Right.
So I mean, if you need to build a linear experience, then that's fine. But I had a big problem with the boss battles. It seemed like the first boss that you go against, he's like, all right, you can pretty much like kind of like mix your strategy up a bit and do what you need to do.
Right.
And just play to get it to beat him.
Right.
And then it seems like after that, pretty much every boss has a certain power that you need to use that in order to beat them, that'll work every time.
Right.
And it kind of felt shallow for the boss fights, to be honest.
Okay.
Because you go into like these combat situations, and you can do pretty much whatever you want. There's all this environment. You can figure out how to use the environment to your advantage, you know, and do whatever you need to do.
Right.
And then when you get into the boss battle, it's kind of like it just. There's
it
a lot of
flow.
Yeah, it doesn't flow right, and there's a lot of up and down difficulty experiences that
that's
really are frustrating.
Fun.
Where it just seems like stuff is like just ridiculously difficult for no reason.
Totally inconsistent.
Yeah, so it's just it was fine. It was entertaining, and for Star Wars fans, there's definitely something there to see how the gap between the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy start out.
Uh huh.
Because this is technically canon, but there's also a lot to it where it's just kind of like, like story-wise, it's a Star Wars game.
Right.
It's a modern-day Star Wars title, so story-wise, it's not that great.
Right.
And there's a lot of thumbs up and head nods to fans, but other than that, it's just not worth it.
Right.
I think overall, I mean, I think the hype for it, I can see why it was deserved because, you know, you were given a lot of force powers and you were able to perform them easily.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't see why people got so excited about it.
No.
At the time. But, I mean, it was an older game. It came out, like, 4 years ago, so.
Right.
So, you know, it's just one of those games where if you haven't played it yet, don't really...
Don't waste your time.
Go read the book.
Go out of your way.
Go read the book. There's a book based on it.
Okay.
So, go read that. It'll get the same story. You don't have to deal with the frustration.
The nonsense.
Yeah. But that was part of the After the Hype, and that's pretty much it for the show this week. Pretty easy show.
Pretty chill.
Only about 50 minutes long.
Cool.
Next week we will be back.
Yes.
We will be talking about a couple new things.
Yes.
Not sure what yet, but...
Nobody knows. We won't know until the day of.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
we
do lots of preparing.
Yeah, so, peace out. Thanks for listening, and, be patient with us. We got a lot of cool stuff coming up this summer.
Yes.
All right.
Peace.
Peace.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath. Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show, keep 'em laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you.